Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
One of my favorite verses, and I heard it this morning, but it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." And I love that verse. And it says, "Great is your faithfulness. Great is God's faithfulness." And I just love that verse so much, because there's so many days that I don't get it right. There's so many days that I mess up as a husband, a dad, a pastor, a worker. I don't get it right. And I need God's grace. I need His grace over my life. And it's such a wonderful thing to remember. And I love New Year's Day. I love it, because it's his mercies are new every morning, but on a new year, you feel it even more. I feel it more. I feel like, okay, it's another start, another day to worship Him and to try to give Him more honor this year than last year, to try to give Him more of my devotion, more of my praise, and more of my adoration. So I just love that verse, and I get excited each year about another year to kind of evaluate where I went last year and what I did last year, and then kind of think and pray and seek God about what He wants me to do this year. Something that I like to do with my family, and I'm going to be sharing it here with you this morning, something that I like to do, we do a time in the beginning of each year where we take some time to pray and to seek the Lord. And we take the month of January. We do each year some different types of fasting, just to kind of get our flesh in line with what the Holy Spirit wants to do with our lives. So we take some time. We'll do different types of fasts. Sometimes it's a media fast. Sometimes it's a specific food fast, or a specific day that we all just take some time to just seek the Lord and use the month of January to kind of start out seeking God and saying, "God, what do you have for us for this year? What do you want us to do in this new year that you've given us? You've given us another year to serve you, to love you, and to be your children. So what would you have us do?" So I want to kind of just talk a little bit about that this morning, and kind of share at the end of this morning sermon. I want to give a handout to you guys of just something that we do to kind of orient ourselves for the year, and kind of how we do it. And it's been a blessing. Many years ago, I think I was 19 when a pastor showed me kind of how to kind of set up some goals for the year. And it really, really helped me and really gave me some direction in my life. So it's been such a blessing over the years to kind of get to use that tool. So if it can be a blessing in your life, I'd love to do that. So let's open up in prayer really quickly and just ask God to be part of this time as we pray. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for the privilege of getting to share your word. I thank you for the privilege of being in a place of worship, in corporate worship together with brothers and sisters in Christ from all different nations, from all different parts of the world, here together under one banner. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord. Under one mission to serve our King, Lord. And I ask that in this morning, Lord, you would prepare our hearts, that you would prepare my heart and my family's hearts, Lord, that we would be able to serve you wholeheartedly, that I have decided to follow you, no turning back, that we would cast off everything that hinders, everything that slows us down from running full speed, Lord, and that we would put on your grace and mercy, that we would put on your strength, your joy, your peace, Lord. put on your fruits on us today, Lord. Produce your fruits in our heart and in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said? Amen. Good, good. Some of you are awake. Praise the Lord. All right. So the message title for today is Run to Win. Run to Win. And I love in Hebrews, I want to say, I don't even have this in my notes this morning, but Hebrews, I want to say it's 12, where the writer of Hebrews says, let us cast aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race. And Paul talks about it too. Paul talks about it. He says, let us run. I like that term of casting off everything that hinders. And some of you may already know this, but what Paul's actually referring to is in the Olympics, what the runners would do is that they'd actually take off their clothing and they would run so they'd have the fastest speed, okay? And what he's saying is he's like, take off everything that hinders us from running full speed towards Christ. Paul is kind of giving a visual picture of what the Greeks would do when they're running. He's like, that word is literally to take off. Let's take off anything that hinders and run full speed to Christ. And what in our lives, we tend to get things in our life that we tend to play with, I do anyway, that we say exactly, they're not actually sin, but honestly, they're things that entangle us. There's things that just slow us down from being able to run full speed. And I want to challenge myself this morning, because this is not something I'm just preaching to you guys. This is something that God is continually challenging me, saying, Nathan, I want you to run wholeheartedly for me. And I say it to the Lord, I want to run wholeheartedly, but then I have these things that distract me in this life. So I love that verse that we have it today. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Today is a new day. It's a new day to serve the Lord. So in this new year, I think a lot of us, I don't know, it's most of us, each year we begin to write some New Year's resolutions. Does anybody here ever write New Year's resolutions? Can you raise your hand if you'd do that? Only two people? Okay. Well, probably a lot of us in the past, maybe we have done that, but when we get discouraged, it's like, it never works out. a lot of times we're thinking, okay, it's a new year. We want to set some New Year's resolutions. Sometimes after the holidays, we want to shed off some weight. You know, we've enjoyed the holidays with family, and we're like, man, I want to lose a little bit of this wonderful weight, all this with that wonderful food. I'm going to start running again. I'm going to start working out again. I'm going to do some things. I'm going to watch my diet because I didn't in December. So now in January this year, I want to be a little bit more careful about what I'm doing. So we kind of make some plans of what we'd like to do. I think a lot of people do that in this season of a new start. It's like, okay, I have another time, another chance to do some things differently. I want to live a little bit more healthy in 2024. I want to do these things. So we kind of set, a lot of times we set goals. Most of us set some goals for ourselves. I really think we kind of see like we kind of see this, what do we say? So I'm thinking in Spanish and in English, sorry. praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to be able to speak two languages, isn't it? we have this idea. I want to lose some weight. Let's take that for example, because I think a lot of us I'm like, man, I'm not where I want to be exactly, you know? And so we kind of make a plan. We hear these little things on social medias about being healthy and the importance of being healthy. We see these little videos about, you know, if you do these things, you can begin to lose weight more quickly, and we get caught up in these things. And a lot of times, we see these workout plans or this new app or this new program or this new food or this new diet that's going to help you lose weight. But the bottom line is, The bottom line is, if we want to lose weight, we have to be disciplined and we have to have a plan. We have to be disciplined and we have to have a plan. And maybe you're thinking, Nathan, why are you talking so much about losing weight? the point is this. I believe that we all have some spiritual fat on our bodies. And I like the example of losing weight because a lot of us can connect with that. You know, we know that it doesn't just happen. If we just say, okay, I want to lose some weight this year, but if we don't have a plan, most 90% of us know that it's not going to happen. We have to kind of make some plans. We have to kind of maybe write out some goals, maybe how much we want to lose. We have to actually step on the scale and see how much we weigh today. So then next week or next month, we can step on the scale and see how much we weigh then. So we know that we have to do some of these things to kind of get a plan and to actually begin to work towards a goal. And I really believe that that we have to do that spiritually in our lives. We really need to, sometimes we need to step on the spiritual scale and see where we are with the Lord. We have to evaluate our hearts and say, where am I at? How am I with my walk with Jesus, with my prayer time, with my reading of his word, with sharing the gospel with my coworkers? Where am I at for real in my heart? And I want to encourage you guys, my desire for each one of you this morning is that after today, and maybe even after this service today, you would just take some time. Maybe tomorrow we have a day where pretty much everybody has off, we're free. It's a day tomorrow, my family, we're just going to take some time and begin to ask ourselves to get together as a family, God, where are we at? Where are we at in our walk with you? And what do you have for us? What can we do to begin to get more in shape so that we can serve you better? Get more in shape spiritually so that we can be a better testimony for you, Lord. So really quickly, in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I like what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. He says, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air." What he's saying is, I have a vision of what I'm doing. I'm not just running all over. I'm not just doing random things. I have a point of what I'm doing. I have a workout plan to win the race, to win the sport that I'm working at. He says, I don't just do random stuff. I have a plan of what I'm doing and a vision of where I'm going. So today I want to encourage you guys as we're kind of going into this new year to kind of get a plan of what we can do and how we can serve God better in this coming year. In 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7, and 8, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly." And there, I like that word. Paul uses a lot of these words, this train, it's a physical work. It's a plan. Training involves some work in our lives. Okay. So he says, don't get caught up in all the random stuff. Don't get caught up in all that social media stuff. Okay. Don't get caught up in all the news of what's going on and all this problems in the earth, on the earth today. He's like, don't get caught up in all that worldly worry and stress. Okay. And then he says, but train yourself to be godly. Okay. So the moment we're saved, we are sanctified, we are made right with God in that moment. We are made completely right, but we still struggle with this flesh in our body. We're still here on earth right now. And so we still struggle with getting spiritually overweight. And we have to, he's saying, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to walk intimately with the Lord. Train yourself to use the gifts that you have been given. Train yourself to use this wonderful gift of salvation to run this race. So he says, train yourself to be godly. And then he says this, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So he says, listen, train yourself, prepare yourself. He says physical training has some value, okay? It has a purpose, okay? But spiritual training has value for this life and the life to come. And we see that in the parable of the talents. You know, the workers, they receive something from the Lord, and then each of them had to put it to use. And then when they come back, they have something to, when God returns, when Jesus Christ returns, they have something to present and said, listen, this is what you gave me, now is this. And they have something to give to God. And he says, welcome. And actually, in one of the parables about the talents and the mitens, he actually says, okay, you've been faithful with this. Now I know you'll be faithful much, so I will put you over. He says, you've got your 5 mitens turned to 10 mitens. Now I'm going to put you over 10 cities. So our work here in life, we can't earn our salvation. We can't earn the more love from God. We are totally loved, okay? But we can, in this life, we can do things that matter spiritually for the life to come. We can win souls for Christ. We can live for him in a more purposeful way. We can use the gifts he's given us in a more impactful way. So Paul is challenging Timothy, a young pastor over a church. He's saying, use your gifts, train yourself, teach yourself, and prepare yourself. And I think all of us would say, if I said, what's the most important thing in your life? What's the most important thing in your life? I think a lot, or what's the most important thing in life? A lot of you, I think almost all of us would say, and I think even my children say, would be, you know, serving the Lord, loving the Lord, serving your family, loving your family, serving others, loving others. I think most of us would agree on that. But what I see in myself and what I see in my children is many times we get focused on other things, even though we say that with our mouth. Jesus actually said to the Israelites of the day, he said, this generation, they honor me with their words, but their hearts are far from me. And I even see that in myself many times. And in my children, they know that answer. You know, they know that answer. But then every time their mouth opens, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What they want to talk about is Minecraft. or the latest video game or the latest show, you know, and that's what every we'll be going to church and we're talking about video games and shows, and we come out of church and we're talking about video games and shows, you know, and so our hearts are full of these things that really entangle us. And I always challenge my children. I say, listen, I know that we, I'm not saying that you're in sin to like these things, but what I'm seeing in you, and I see in myself too, is our hearts are in love with something. We say God is the most important thing, but then many times our actions show us that maybe it's work. Maybe it's family that is the most important thing. Family is wonderful. I love family, but maybe this is the most important in our life. Our actions a lot of times show where our heart is. So I want to kind of just encourage you with something that has helped me to kind of reorient my life, okay, to reorient and get focused. Okay, God, I see this stuff in me. I see these idols in my heart. Lord, how can I get back to what you're calling me to do? So one of the things that my pastor gave me, and I'm going to kind of read over it this morning, he taught us how to write goals, and he used the word SMART goals to kind of help us remember the acronym for learning how to set goals for the year. So this is something that we kind of go through as a family, this SMART goals. I'm just going to kind of read over it quickly, and then kind of I want to share. I think we're going to put it up here on the screen later on if it was able to come up. If not, I'll just read over it. But I want to share some of my goals for this year and kind of how we write them for kind of orienting our life or reorienting our life into coming back to focusing on God, and that God is the center of what we're doing. So SMART goals. Here's a phrase by, I want to say Yogi Berra. I might be saying that wrong. Yogi Berra. If you don't know where you are going, you will end up someplace else. Okay, and I love that phrase because if we don't have a plan of where we're going, you are going to end up somewhere where you didn't plan to be. No children in church say when they're in little children's church, say, well, I want to be a sinner one day. I want to be a thief. Nobody plans to do that. I want to be a murderer, adulterer. No, nobody says that. But if we don't have a plan of action, we will get somewhere where we don't want to be. I remember when I was dating my wife now. She was my girlfriend at the time, and I was dating her. And she was, honestly, I was very blessed because she was actually my first girlfriend because I wanted to do missions work, and there weren't a lot of girls that wanted to do missions work. So I didn't have girlfriends before her, so she was my first girlfriend. And I was like, man, I've waited so long. There's no way I'm going to get into sin. There's no way I'm going to do wrong things with her because I've waited so long. But honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I had no plan of action besides I'm not going to do that. I had no plans of how I was going to do right. It was just kind of this self-righteous pride. Like, no, I've waited so long and I'm not going to do anything wrong. And without a plan of action, you're going to end up somewhere where you didn't plan to be. And in that dating relationship, we did end up somewhere where we didn't plan to be. And then my father-in-law, at the time, he wasn't my father-in-law because we weren't married yet, but he really counseled me and said, listen, you had no plan. You know, I could see this coming a long way off because you had no plan of action. It was just like, no, we're going to, you know, we're right with God and we're, you know, kind of this self-righteousness. No, he said, you got to have a plan of action. If you're going to walk that road with the desires and temptations of this life, you kind of have to have a plan of what you're going to do. So it's a wonderful thing. You do have to have it planned out. Let's see. Here's another phrase. Short-term goals with long-term vision will lead you to burnout. Okay? So you have lots. If you have lots of little goals, but you don't have the big picture in mind, you're going to burn out because you're doing a lot of little things, but you don't actually know why you're doing all these little things. That's something I struggle with my kids because I have them doing all these little things all the time to kind of get them to where I would like them to be. But a lot of times I struggle with casting the vision of where we're going. So then they kind of get burnt out because it's like, oh, why are we doing this fasting, Dad, every month? You know, why are we doing these things all the time? And they kind of lose vision of the long-term goal. Okay, and then the phrase here, it says, I'll read it again. Short-term goals without long-term vision will lead you to burnout. And then here's the other part. Long-term goals. So we have these long-term goals. Man, I want to be more righteous. I want to be closer to God. I want to be a better leader. Those are long-term goals because you're not a good leader in one day, okay? These long-term goals. Long-term vision without short-term goals will lead you to blow up. So you're going, you know, with all your strength trying to get to that long-term thing, but you don't have these short, measurable goals of, okay, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. We're just kind of looking at the big picture, and we get exhausted. And it's just like, just stressed out and like, no, it doesn't work. I can't get there. So together, they can lead you to your destination. Together, they can lead you to your destination. All right. So the first letter in our acrostic, SMART, we have goals must be specific and strategic. If you have that on your paper, those are the two things you can write in there. Goals must be specific and strategic. Prayer is the starting point of setting clear and strategic goals. We have to have time in prayer. We have to have time seeking God and saying, God, what is your vision and your plan for me? What would you have me to do? Asking the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to us. So prayer is the start. Goals are then set and steps of action are developed in order to achieve the goal. We set specific goals when we ask why, who, what, when, where, how. So tomorrow, my family and I, we're just going to take the day and we're going to sit down and say, okay, why are we doing all this? Okay, what do we want to see happen in our lives? Just kind of asking these questions. I'm going to ask each one of them tomorrow. Even my youngest, Nehemiah, who's 5 years old, I'm going to ask him, you know, what kind of person do you want to be? And he'll probably say some things like, I want to be a good person. I want to be a good Christian, you know. But then we'll start to ask, okay, how can we get there? You know, what are some small things that we can do? Asking these questions. You know, when can we start doing those things? When in the week will we spend some time to do those things in our life? Who could help us do those things? Who could we bring in to help us be accountable with those things? So prioritizing your life helps inform you concerning strategic initiatives and goal setting. So you want to have a strategic plan. You want to have an idea of how you can get to this. So that's S on our list. M, we have to have them measurable. Okay? Measurable. Your goals have to have some sort of measure. So what we do, some people, my pastor does every 3 times a year, he meets back with his family. I have a paper here that I don't know if you guys have it, but he sets these goals, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but he sets these goals. He writes his desires up here, and then in the bottom, he puts in steps of action on the bottom, okay? So he writes these the goals and vision for the year, and then he writes some action steps that he can take to get there, okay? And what he does, we do it twice a year. So in about 6 months, we're going to come back, and we're going to reevaluate these things in our lives. So in July, at the end of July, after the summer is over and everything, we're kind of coming back into school, we sit down, and I sit down with my children, and we say, okay, where are we at? Where are we at on our goals? Each one of my children, they fill out one of these, okay? They're going to be filling this out tomorrow. And then we ask them, okay, where are we at and where are we going? And so we have some measurable goals. And one of those things is writing them down. Okay, because if I think, okay, I want to lose 20 pounds this year, I think that in my head. But if I don't put that somewhere, or if I don't tell somebody, I'm not going to lose 20 pounds this year. if I don't have some sort of a goal that I could measure, okay, so 20 pounds, that's let's say that's 3 pounds a month. Okay, so I have to have it measurable. I have to step on that scale. Okay, I have to step on that scale and I have to measure myself, okay, and see where I'm at. And then I have to start doing some little things. Okay, what can I do? Let's cut this out. Let's do this, okay? Okay, so goals have to be measurable. What good is a goal that you can't measure? If your goals are not measurable, you never know whether you are making progress towards successful completion. You will not know if you are growing if you cannot measure. Writing goals are a means to evaluate and measure growth. I think of this. My children really want, they got a computer when we got here to the United States last year. When we came back from living in Honduras, we were there for 17 years, and all my children were born in La Ceiba in Honduras, and they are living here, so they got a computer when they got back here. And they said, can we get, there's a video game called Terraria, right? Yes. Is that it? Yeah. And they want Terraria on the computer, okay? And I said, okay, listen, I want you guys to get your typing up. You know, so when your guys' typing is to an adequate level, we can download that onto the computer. But they've kind of been discouraged with that because I didn't really have any measurable goals for them. It was just kind of like a general term. Okay, when you're good at typing, it's like, okay, but how do we know when we're good? How do we know when we're at the point that we can get this game? So I was talking with my wife just like 2 days ago, and I was like, okay, because she said some things about the typing, and I said, okay, but we need measurable goals. We need to know, like, where are they at now, and where do they need to be so they can actually earn this privilege of having that on the computer, on their computer. So we were kind of talking about, okay, how can we measure it? And we were discussing that together with the children and kind of trying to figure those things out, because they haven't been really motivated, because really it's that long-term goal without measurable steps to get to that, okay? So they have to be measurable. Okay, attainable. Goals must be realistic and attainable. Okay, they've got to be attainable. If you have this goal way out there, but it's, okay, if I have a goal to lose 100 pounds this year, it's not attainable. I'm just not going to get there, okay? Not at my age, not at where I'm at. And, you know, it's not going to be, or if I have, you know, this okay, I just want to, in the first 3 months of the year, I just want to lose all the weight right away. It's very difficult, because it's a goal that's set way higher than what we can do. So attainable. The best goals require a person to stretch a bit to achieve them, but they are not so difficult that they are unattainable. Goals should create a meaningful challenge for the individual. Making unrealistic goals will lead to discouragement and defeat. However, sanctification will involve times of crucifying our flesh in order to grow. Okay, so my children got a basketball hoop for Christmas, and we kind of put the basketball hoop kind of low so my youngest, Nehemiah, can get the basketball in the hoop. Okay, but he actually asked for it all the way low, which is like this high. And I'm like, no, because then you can just put it in every time. You know, so we raised it up a little bit so he can kind of get it in probably about 50% of the time shooting it, but it's at a height where it teaches him and trains him to have to shoot a little bit and not just slam dunk it every time. He would like it if I just had it low where he could just jump and put it in every time, but that won't train him to get better in his skill. Okay, so we want to have a goal where it's not so high, like, because when it's at the height where Aiden can get it in, my oldest son, my youngest son can never get it in, okay? So it's very discouraging. He doesn't even want to play, because it's just like, I can't get it in. Why would I try? So we want these goals that are at the height that it still requires us to push a little bit, but also goals that are attainable, that we can actually do it and that we can get that in the hoop. So attainable. R, we want goals that are relevant. We want goals that are relevant to what we are trying to do in our lives, okay? The foundation for Christian goal setting is, are they relevant to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Okay, listen, this whole goal thing, if you are just focused on making more money at your job and having a better life and getting a better home and a better car and saving money and getting fit, then my purpose in this whole message is lost. Okay, our goal has to be, how can we bring the kingdom of God to earth? Jesus said, I must be about the kingdom. I need to go preach the kingdom. He was driven by this. I need to share the kingdom of God with others. I need to share the good news of the gospel with others. And every goal in our lives, okay, if one of my children says, man, I want to be the best player in Minecraft, okay, that's not a goal that I'm shooting for with them, okay? We want goals that are relevant to what we are trying to do in this life, okay? So they have to be kingdom-focused. They have to be gospel-centered goals. Make sure, now here's a little note in here. It says, make sure you don't confuse goal setting with performance. Like, I have to be better for Christ. I have to earn his love. I have to earn his respect. I have to earn God working in my life. That's not something that we have to earn. You know, we don't have to do things to get him to love us more. We're totally loved. You know, I love that song. I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. Okay? We are loved completely by God. Okay? But it says, let's see here, if I can find my spot. There is no way we can set a goal for God to love us any more than he already does. We do not perform our way into pleasing God. Personal and family goals are a way to grow in Christ and manifest his kingdom here on earth. As we love God, we lead well, and we live out the gospel. The goals that we're setting is just to help us give more glory to God in our lives and on this earth, to give more glory to his kingdom, to bring more people into his kingdom. Okay, now, last one here, time bound, okay? Goals should have starting points and ending points and fixed duration of time. Commitment to deadlines helps individuals to focus their efforts on completion. Goals outside deadlines or schedules for completion tend to be overtaken by the day-to-day responsibilities and difficulties in our lives. So 1 Corinthians 9:26, he says, "So I do not run aimlessly," that we were reading earlier, "and do not beat the air like a boxer just swinging at the air." Okay, he says, I have a goal and a purpose that I'm going for. So having a time set, okay, this is our time period. This is where we're going. This is where we want to be by this time. So if it's every 3 months you're coming back to this paper that we're about to hand out, or you guys have, if it's every 6 months, you want to have a time that we're going for. Okay, so if my goals are measurable, okay, I want to lose 20 pounds in 2024, I have to have, okay, so I need to have 3 pounds down this month. Okay, that's what I have to work for. Okay, I need to get that done so I can be at my goal at the end of the year. So we have to have a time period, like, okay, so from this time to this time, this is what I will be doing. Okay, so our last paper here in closing out, I just have this resource for you guys. Did we get that? I didn't actually get to see what was printed up. Okay, you've got it there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, tech guys. we have this resource here, and there's lots of resources that you can use. There's lots of things, lots of styles, and ways you can do this. I will give you one warning. Talking about goals must be attainable. I got so excited the first year I did this. Because at the end of the year, I actually kind of, I was focused on it in the beginning of the year. I wrote it all out, and I kind of forgot about it. And then just randomly, it was actually January of the next year, I was going through paperwork, and I found my paper, and I had lost it, you know, after the first 3-4 months, got distracted with life and everything else, and I looked at, it was the very first time I did this, okay, so I think I was 20 years old, and I looked at it, and it was incredible, because almost everything that I had put on there had gotten done in that year, and I felt so excited, so then I got excited the next year, and I forgot the attainable part. And I put on a whole bunch of stuff because I was like, man, it was so good. And I got so kind of overly excited about it and put so many things in there and had so many tiny steps. It was just overwhelming. So I want to encourage you guys, if you're going to use this paper, keep it simple. Put something in there, some small steps that you can do, but keep it simple to a few things that you can focus on and get done. Really quickly, I'm just going to read what it says on the back of the paper that our pastor hands out to us. So it says, having a gospel-centered life plan. This is what he calls our life plan, okay? So we write on this side, it says goals. We write our goals up in here, okay? So I think I have, do I have my, did, were we able, okay, so here's some of mine up here. I'm going to pull up my paper so I can just read it off of here. Maybe I'll have to read it up here. Okay, so these are some of the things that I set. And again, there's quite a few on mine because I've been practicing this for a little bit. You don't have to have all these. But I wanted to give you some ideas and kind of be transparent with you guys. These are some of the things that I've been wanting to do, that I want to do this year. And this will be for the first about 3 to 4 months of this year. But it says consistent quiet time with the Lord. I don't know how you guys did for the holidays, but we get so caught up, I do, and then it's like, my quiet time has not been good. So I put that, I want a consistent quiet time with the Lord, that it's a specific time. I'm really thankful that I've learned to just be in intimacy and communicating with the Lord throughout the day. But I really, it's so important to have a specific time. I know if you're married, you understand this well, but it is so important that you have some time where you just talk with your spouse, just the two of you. And it's so, life is so busy, it's amazing how we can get going, and then we feel so distant from each other because we're not having a specific time where we, hey, at this time of the day, we're going to sit down and just talk about how our lives went, how work went, how the children are, how our day was. So consistent quiet time with the Lord. Journaling, I'm terrible at journaling, but the times that I've done it in my life, I've been so blessed. And it's an incredible thing. So I want to just take some time. What I want to do is twice a week. Oh, actually, we'll see it down here. Okay. Once a month, accountability. Okay. I want to meet with one of my pastors that we just sit together and talk about some of this stuff, talk about some of the things that are going on in my life. Rest and Sabbath. I tend to be a hard worker. I tend to do 7 days a week instead of 6 days a week. So I want to kind of learn how to implement that in my life as much as I can. Practice scripture-fed, spirit-led, worship-based prayer. So I want to practice more prayer in my life. And something that I've really been enjoying is scripture-fed prayer. So reading the scriptures and praying the scriptures. We've heard this verse, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's an incredible thing. It's active. So when we pray it, it makes our prayers are powerful. But when we pray the word of God, it's powerful. Sorry, I'm not going to preach on all this. Sorry. So down here, I just have a couple of things I can do on here. So I have a reading plan that I'm going to be doing with some of my other brothers in Christ in the church. Okay. I have my time that I kind of want to wake up and the time I want to get to bed, because if I'm not getting to bed on time, I'm not going to wake up and have time with the Lord. If I'm staying up with my children playing video games, I'm just not going to get up the next day when I need to. Or I will, but then I'm overtired and cranky all day. So I just have some notes in here of what I can do. I'm not going to go over everything. So this is Love, Lead, Live. That's for the church that I'm attending with my pastor right now. But what I like to have over here in the Spanish version, I think I put it on there. But we have, let me see here. On the first box, it's kind of personal goals, myself. Second box is my family goals and my goals for my family. And my third box is my others' goals, what I want to do to help others, what I want to do to serve others. So that's kind of the words that when I give my children the goals in the boxes, I'm going to have, okay, yourself, your family, others, because those are the things. And we kind of put those up in there. And then again, we put our goals. Our steps that we're going to be taking to get to those at the bottom. So does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. I know it's not like a lot of times I like to preach. Like I really enjoy preaching in passages and preaching through scripture. But this is something that my family's doing that we have seen affect our lives in a very positive way. I'd like to encourage you guys to just take this time to take it seriously. It's a new year. It's a new day. It's a new season. God, what do you have for me? And really taking some plans of action together, taking some time, whether it's today or tomorrow, maybe in this month, I would encourage you to do it today or tomorrow because it gets away, you know, life gets busy. And just take some time, you know, if you need to right now, text your spouse or your mom or dad or your pastor, say, hey, I want to do this today. and try to take that step to having some goals because, like I said, if we aim at nothing, we hit nothing every time, okay? We have to have goals in our life to get to a place that we want to be. If you just say, I want to be more intimate with the Lord, that's a great goal. But if you don't have some plans to do that, if you don't have some action steps, you'll never be where you want to be. So I want to just encourage you guys with that. Let's have a time just close in prayer this morning. and just ask the Lord to help us. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen are staying awake in vain. We have to have God helping us in this. We have to have the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit as we do these things, saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me do these things so that I can give more glory to you, that I can give more glory to Jesus Christ.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.